Such good words, huh? We come with expectation. I hope you've come with expectation to hear. Not from me, but from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is real. And He speaks to your heart. If you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is the deposit, right? Guaranteeing your salvation. You have proof that you are a child of God when the Holy Spirit makes application in your life. And when someone's talking, or when you're singing, or when you're discussing things with another person, and there's a revelation that impacts your mind or your heart, and you go, oh, I get it, or I feel like God's telling me to do this, that's proof that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because the Holy Spirit resides in your heart. Pretty amazing thing. I am excited to be here. I was joking earlier when I said I brought these signs for a sense of comfort, and I said last hour, it is a kind of a comfort that I have when speaking of our Tracy campus. I love the church. And when I say the church, there's a couple definitions I have of it. There's the church in general as a whole that God has, both in the world and our nation, those made up of the body of believers who trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But there's also the local body, the church that God has called us to be a part of, and I'm passionate about it. I love it. I come with expectation when I go to the church because God has called us here. And so when I say I love our Tracy campus, I do. I love it. I love to be there because God has called me there, just as He's called the others to be there. But that love is a learned love that God has kind of taught me from being here. In a sense, you guys have sort of taught me how to love the church, the bride of Christ, that God has placed in this world to be a light to all people in this place. It's a pretty cool thing. I don't know. I pray you guys have come with expectation today. If you're not, if you're just passing the time, then I pray the Holy Spirit will make it happen in you, I guess, is what I want to see take place. 240 years ago, right? 1776, on July 2nd, representatives from the 13 colonies of the then United States came up with the Declaration of Independence. They voted in favor of independence, that is, from Great Britain. And 2 days later, they adopted the Declaration of Independence. And that day was July 4th, which has become, right, the celebratory day of our independence from Great Britain as the United States of America. I would like to discuss some of this Declaration of Independence, as well as God's involvement in our life as individuals, as well as God's involvement in our nation, as well as God's involvement in our world. And so it's with that, let me just pray for us and ask that God would guide our time. Heavenly Father, guide our time this morning. Lord, my hope and my goal is that You would speak to our hearts about how You want to see us live with a holy conviction because we believe in You. So speak to our hearts. Encourage those who are here. For those who are eager to hear from You, I pray that Your Spirit would make application. For those who may just be checking things out, Lord, I pray that You would reveal Yourself to those people, to all of us. We would walk out of here different than when we showed up because of Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'd like to point out some things about what I just read. Truths, things that are unchanging, things that stand the test of time. Absolutes. The things brought forth in the Declaration of Independence were not just for the early colonists, but they were meant for all generations of America. Self-evident, meaning logical conclusions of humanity is to understand first and foremost about its Creator, and then themselves. Equality. This does not speak of the fact that we're all equal in strength, character, writing skill, or even batting average. But rather, this equality speaks of the fact that legitimate government is based upon the consent of the governed. And all those being governed have a voice, play a part, because of their Creator. Okay? Because of their Creator. And then you have life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. We have these God-given rights. And these rights culminate in the pursuit, meaning the vocation, not the chase of happiness. And this happiness is not about self-satisfaction or some stupefied pleasure, but rather a life lived to its fullest potential, human flourishing. I think that comes from a verse in the Bible, right? John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. It is such a great statement of human liberty, this Declaration of Independence. As you continue reading through it, you hear about the job of the government. You hear about the job of those being governed. From there, the colonists live the 27 charges against the King of Great Britain. And then they lay forth their conclusion and then their Declaration of Independence. In my office, I have a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. They are great things, great artifacts, great truths. But what I love most about the Declaration of Independence is the people's understanding of who God is and His involvement in their life and this world and this country. How you may say, or how you may ask. I'd like to point out some ways that I believe God is intricately involved in the framing of this article, but also in the framing and the foundation of our United States. First, all belongs to God. All belongs to God. In the preamble of the Declaration of Independence, the authors refer to the laws of nature and of nature's God. Meaning there is no God except for God, Him. He is the only God. He is the creator of all things, and He governs it accordingly. And He does this so that all people might reach out to Him. Listen to this from Acts chapter 17. And if there are certain verses that kind of a hallmark verses for me, those verses that you need to remember, this is one of those passages you might want to write down, be it on your electronic device or if you're old-fashioned, when you use pencil and paper, write it down. Underline it in your Bible if you carry it with you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth. Sorry, let me find where I am. Does not live in the temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, that he is actually not far from each one of us. This fact that all belongs to God is something that's been disputed from the earliest on of people mentioning it. They have always debated it, but you cannot escape that truth. Thomas Jefferson, reflecting on the Declaration of Independence, wrote in 1825 that its essential point was not to find out new principles or new arguments, but rather to place before mankind the common sense of the subject. The common sense of the subject that God is the creator, that all belongs to Him, and subsequently, we are created in God's image. As I've already mentioned, and as I've already read at the beginning, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. I say this over and over when I talk to people, and every time I read this verse, when God wants us to understand something, He doesn't have me say it, He says it, and He says it three times here. He says, you're created in my image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. In case you missed it the first time, He said it twice. In case you missed it the second time, He said it three times. God is the creator of all that we see. And these rights, these unalienable rights, meaning they cannot be taken away or denied, meaning they're given to you by the Lord. You have the ability, you have the right to pursue God in all His glory and all His greatness. Yes, some days it comes at a price. People may not look at you the same. It may mean putting some things down and picking something else up. But folks, we have the right to pursue God with everything we have. Third, you find out in the Declaration of Independence that He is the standard. Nearing the end of the Declaration, the representatives appeal to the supreme judge of the world. That person is God. The early colonists understood the finite nature of the human mind and the human heart. They understood that left to our own devices, we would walk away from God. Do you know why they knew that? Because they read about it in something called the Holy Bible. And when you read the Bible, you find out that men and women left to their own devices and to themselves will walk away from the Lord. It happens over and over and over. And so they appealed to God as the supreme judge of the world because His standard does not change. He is unchanging. Don't we sing a song, Brandon, about that? Is Brandon here? We sing that song, right? Unchanging? I'm going to spare you of how it goes. But we do, because He is the standard. He never changes. With man, that standard does change. Lastly, He is the sustainer. The last line of the Declaration of Independence, or the last couple lines. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Such great words. Huh? Sometimes I wish we would talk more like that. I commit to you my sacred honor. Honor! I feel like I should be in a battle when you say that. But in a sense, we are in a battle, right? The battle going on is the battle for the souls of men and women. The battle rages, too. The providence of God, God's gracious outworking of His purpose in Christ, which issues in His dealing with mankind. Let me read for you Matthew chapter 6, and I'll comment on it. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I have a bird actually in my house this morning. Last couple mornings I've woken up, there's this crow. Goodness sakes. Sometimes I wonder, God, why did you create that crow? Why that crow? Anyways, the birds of the air. God is the one who is in control of everything that is taking place in our world. You may not think that. You may not like that truth. But you cannot escape it. You may look at what's going on, all the atrocities, the sickness, and the suffering, and think, surely God's not in control. Folks, He is. He is the sustainer of all things. My wife and I was reminded of this last week when my wife were flying. And you guys know my wife. My wife's Amy back there, in case, you know. Hey, Amy. Some of you have never seen Amy. She does deserve a round of applause for being married to me. But as we were flying, which is an event all to itself, I won't even go into that. We were going over some land. And, she looked down and said, look at, isn't it amazing how there's the squares and the circles, they're all so perfect? And I was like, yeah, that's pretty great as I'm peeking out. And, she says, how do they do that? And so I did my best to explain to her how they make it, in layman's terms, of course, not a professional term. So I'm not going to tell you what I told her exactly, except for the fact I pointed out that while it looks great and there's perfect circles and perfect rectangles and squares, if we were to be there, you would notice that all the lines are not perfectly straight. That sometimes they sway to the left or to the right. And when we think about the ways of which things are headed in our world, we must understand that we don't have the distance between us that God does. For when we look at the things of this world, and we think, surely God's not in control. God's got a whole different perspective. And it's from His throne in heaven. And He sees things working out to His own end. The problem, folks, is that we're here in the midst of it. And we think, do you even know what you're doing, God? And God says, yes, yes, I do. Your perspective, though, is very limited. It is. But God is in control. He is the sustainer of all things. Now, what does this all mean for us today? Do I bring it up just because it's July 4th and it's the nice thing to do? Speak about the Declaration of Independence. There are many people who know more about the Declaration of Independence. And we were not there when they constructed the Declaration of Independence. But what I love most about it, what I love most about these early colonists, is what they based their life and this country upon. And folks, what they based it upon was God and His Word. So while we may not be scholars and students of these great artifacts, as people call them, the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, we can be scholars and students and experts of the Word. Because this is what they were based upon, what they are based upon. In a sense, while they were writing their Declaration of Independence from an earthly king, they were placing their dependence upon the eternal King. And folks, that is what I want to challenge you to do today, this July 3rd, 2016. Whether you're young or whether you're old, it does not matter. Your dependence must be placed on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty. And that takes place by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. By believing, number one, in God and His plan. Believing in God and His plan. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith it's impossible to please Him. Him being God. Not anybody else. God. Not your spouse. Not your children. Not your parents. Not your boss. Not your friends. But only God. That's who we are seeking to please. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists. And that He rewards those who seek Him. Folks, it starts with God. He is real. His plan, His standard, it is knowable, it is set. Believe in Him. Why is the God of the Bible? Why is Jesus Christ the correct choice? Why is Christianity different than all other religions? Folks, because it's not a religion. It is a relationship based upon the person of Jesus Christ and what He accomplished on the cross. One of the great lies that Satan has allowed people to believe is that Christianity is to be lumped in with everything else. And it is not. It is not. The major issue that separates God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit from everything else, the major issue is that Jesus rose from the dead. If you hear anything this morning, Jesus rose from the dead. That separates Him from everything else. It's the one act that changes life for everybody on this planet, even in eternity. It's the difference maker, man. I've thought about this and read about this and had this hammered in my head over and over and over. Jesus did die, that cannot be disputed. Early non-Christian historians will agree to that fact. But He rose from the dead, and it gives true purpose to everything. For if He did rise from the dead, then that means He died for a reason. And the Bible's clear as to what that reason is. You are a sinner in need of a Savior. Right? Venetia was talking about this. Though my sins were, how did it go? Sins were red as crimson, made me white as snow. That's what He did. And if He did die for a reason, there was someone orchestrating everything that was taking place, and that someone is God. If you flip this around and look at it the other way, if He did not come back to life, raised from the dead, then He died for no reason. And therefore, if He died for no reason, then no one's in charge. And we're on a plane going to nowhere. We don't know where we left from. We don't know when we land. We don't know what we're supposed to do on it. But that's not the case, because Jesus did rise from the dead, and it gives us purpose in this life and the next. That's what separates Christianity from everything else. Because it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Believe in God and His plan. Believe it. Believe it. But there is more today. What I love most about the early colonists, maybe not most, but what I think is pretty great, is that their independence did not come easily. It came with a price. They signed the Declaration of Independence, but it wasn't some 12 years later that they had true independence from Great Britain. They had to fight for it. Their actions followed their faith. Their actions followed what they believed in. Faith and belief are one thing, folks, but faith results in works. They go hand in hand. Because of our love of God and our dependence upon Him, we live with purpose. James 2:19 says, "You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." It's a great verse, right? It's a great one for all of those, for us when we show up here sometimes, "Yeah, I believe in God." Great. Even the demons believe in God. Which is not, that's not like a compliment, you know? He's not saying, "Oh, that's great that you believe in God. You know, the demons believe in God too. Way to go." That's a kicky in the pants type of statement that says the demons believe in God too. But you know what? They're not headed to the same place God is. Meaning, do something because you believe in God. Let your life prove it. This is not legalism either. James 2:22, when James is talking about the faith of Abraham, he says, "You see that faith was active along with his works. It's by grace you have been saved." Yes, but this grace results in faith, which then results in works. And faith was completed by his works. We believe in God and his saving work and his plan, and this gives us the ability to live for him. Placing our dependence upon Christ allows us to declare our independence from sin and the ways of this world. That's what it does. So, which gives us the ability to this, really, pursue holiness. To pursue holiness. Because we believe in God and His plan. Because we understand His love for us and the grace which He's given us, we pursue holiness. Folks, this day, when we celebrate our independence as a country, we celebrate our independence from the ways of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that God sent Him to this earth to live a perfect life, and then died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and rose 3 days later, He did that so that you may have life and have it abundantly. He did that because there was nothing you could do by your own merit, by your own life, in order to bridge that chasm that sin created. But God knew that, and so He sent Jesus so that if you believe in Him, you won't perish, but you'll have eternal life. If you believe that, then you pursue holiness. Because of the great love, the price that was paid for you. That's what we do. We pursue holiness. How do you pursue holiness? Listen, I always wrestle with this over and over and over. Is this enough to tell them? And I always am reminded, yes, it's enough to tell them. Read the Word. Pursue holiness. Ben, how do I do that? You know, how do I love my spouse? How do I not beat my kids up and really am nice to them, you know? I was being funny, okay? You're not really beating your kids up. How do I honor those whom I serve? How do I forgive? It's here in the Bible, the Holy Bible. In this, you find out about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. In this, you find loving God and loving people. You find out how to deal with anxiety and stress. You find out about heaven and hell. You find out about how to love your spouse correctly, how to raise your children, how to deal with anger, how to serve other people. It's here. It's not online. It's not on like WikiHow. It's here. Don't search for other things. If you want to pursue holiness, pursue the Lord here. Folks, it is living and active. It's living and active, able to penetrate your heart. That's why it's here, to know about the author, God. I wonder, though, how many of us treat the Bible as we do the other artifacts that we try to honor on days like July 4th. Many people will visit the National Archives building, right? Isn't it the rotunda or something where these are stored? And they will go and they'll view the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, as well as many other artifacts. And they'll say, wow, look at that. Isn't that? That's amazing. But many of us have never even read it. And if we have, we could hardly recite any of it. Many of you may have heard some of the parts that I read this morning and said, that's in there? Really? We best not treat the Bible the same way, folks, because it's living and active. It's the greatest thing that we can involve ourselves with. Read it, know it, love it, study it, memorize it, listen to it. Pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. It's not a legalistic thing either. Sometimes people get all caught up in this fact of, well, when I grew up, people were always hammered at home that I need to read the Bible every day, and it became this exercise of futility after a while. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying read it because you love the one who wrote it. Don't read it because it's like your duty. Read it because, man, in it you find life. You find life, folks. I say all these things today not because I'm fed up with life, not because I'm fed up with how things are working out. I say it because I believe in God, and I believe that His ways are true, His ways are right. Regardless of what becomes of me or you or any of us in this world, God's Word stands the test of time. God stands the test of time, and Jesus has conquered sin. And one day we will not be in this world. We will be in eternity. And God will look at us and say, you know my son, or you do not know my son. It starts with knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I implore you, I encourage you today to believe in Him. God sent Jesus to die for your sins. Because your sin separates you from a perfect God. But God in His great love sent Jesus to die for you. Not because of anything you've done, but simply because He loves you and He created you. Our response needs to be, God, I believe you sent Jesus for me to the best of my ability right now. Come into my life. Make me the person you want me to be. And by faith, we believe what God has done. And we are born again. We are not perfect, but we have the ability to live for Him. Folks, I don't know the issue in your life right now, or issues. Many times we have issues in life. I don't know the tree that's blocking out the forest for you in your life. God does. And His grace is sufficient. He is able to deliver you from whatever is going on in your life. You simply must say, God, here I am. Save me. Mold me into the person you want me to become. Stop with the charade of life and the having it all together. If you're anything like me or any other human being, I know you don't have it all together. Because I don't have it all together. I'm a wreck sometimes. But God directs us in the ways that we should go. Simply give your life to Him. Perhaps for the first time today. Or if you know Jesus and you have wandered away, maybe today is the day, God, this day, I declare my independence from my pride, from my selfishness, from the ways of this world, from my sin, and I declare my dependence upon you. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I pray for those here in this room. I pray for those who, just like me, have things going on in life, sometimes things that seem too big to overcome. They're not too big for you. Pray for those who don't know you, that they would place their faith in you, that it would begin by them saying, God, I believe in Jesus to the best of my ability. Come into my life, make me the person you want me to be. I pray for those who do know you, who have wandered, Lord, who are struggling with pursuing what they want over what you want. Turn their hearts to you. Let this be a day, Lord, when you take your proper position upon the throne of their heart. Thanks for this place. Thank you for the leaders who have gone before us, who have set a foundation based upon your word. I pray for our country. I pray for the leaders of our country, for our president. Watch over their hearts. Keep Satan from having any involvement in the decisions that are made. God, protect this place. Watch over the decisions that are to come in the future. Lord, let it be evident that you are involved in our lives. We love you and we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.